All right, welcome to Ringside Report MMA. AJ, stop whistling. AJ, I can hear you whistling. Stop whistling.
Are we on?
Yeah, okay. We're on. We're previewing UFC 268. We're going to talk about Khamzat Chimaev versus Nate Diaz, possibly in the works. And the White Lion is going to the UFC. Let's see, AJ.
Let's go!
All right. And Freddie. What's up, Freddie? How you doing, man?
Great. You?
Pretty good.
Freddie!
Pretty good. UFC 268 coming up this weekend. We're doing a watch-along for that. It's going to be fun. Watch-along for UFC 267 was fun on Saturday. A lot of people want to hear me talk about the WWE right now. I don't know if you're seeing the news, but WWE fired a bunch of people. So maybe we'll get to that a little later. I know people want to hear me talk about that. People are already asking me to talk about that.
So talk about it.
Well, we'll get to it probably a little bit later, but I know we'll talk about it at length with Johnny North tomorrow night, right after SmackDown. So, you know, we got time.
Tonight, man.
Yeah, we might do it a little bit later, AJ. Take it easy. We'll see. We'll see how much you blabber on for and how long the show goes. You know, Fred gives us a time limit, and we'll see how long you go.
I'll keep it short, man.
I mean, I see a bunch
people
of names
get fired
that don't really
intrigue.
Matter. Are you really good? Like, are you going to get mad for that?
Yeah,
well,
Dave.
You don't really watch.
It's like.
Yeah, Dave. What do you mean, AJ? You don't even know who got fired.
No. I'm talking about the same thing in the UFC. Like Mota Ferry is going to be retiring. Our buddy Gian Vellante is going to come to retirement soon. The guy who made us lose every freaking parlay that we ever bet on him. So is it the same thing? Is it like guys that don't really matter? Or is it like really guys that matter that are getting released? That's what counts, dude.
Yeah. Well, Nia Jax is a pretty big star for the WWE.
Lee. She's getting released?
Yeah.
Wow, she's so hot. She's so hot.
Do you know who Nia Jax is?
Yeah, of course. I've been watching a lot of the wrestling, man. Like, you know, the ones that capture AJ's eyes, I remember.
Nia Jax caught your eye?
She caught my eye.
Okay. I think you may be confusing. Eva Marie. Got Keith Lee, Karrion Kross. Mia Yim, Scarlett, Harry
Scarlett,
Smith.
It's a bunch of no names, man. Come on.
I don't know.
Scarlett is not a no name.
Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, Ember Moon, Nia Jax.
Like,
those
sometimes you gotta chop off dead wood, man. You gotta bring some new wood, fresh talent.
Is it just me or is there a lot of women being released?
In with the new, out with the old.
Yeah, but there's a lot of women being released here. This is, I don't know.
They release a female wrestler. Her name is B-Fab. She's in this new group, Hit Row, that just debuted on SmackDown like 2 weeks ago. They already fired one of the members. Like, she's new, and she just got fired. That was surprising.
Well, that can mean that something happened behind the scenes we don't know about, because if anybody gets fired in the first
AJ speculation.
Weeks,
yeah, AJ's expert wrestling opinion. He has no idea who
come
anybody
on, AJ,
is.
Tell us who she slept.
No,
Yeah.
Exactly, Fred.
Oh,
now
come
you know
on.
Where I'm getting at.
Here we go. No, this is why we're not going to talk about this right now.
I didn't bring it up. Listen, Freddie brought it up. Freddie brought it up. I'm just like saying it's a possibility.
I'm saying.
But where I'm getting at is that either she had a bad performance, or she got into some fight with Ahead Honcho from, she got into a fight with
So
Ahead
we're
going to
talk about UFC 268 here
Glover.
In a minute. We're going to give you the predictions. You want to talk about Glover Teixeira, Fred? What about him? Looked amazing.
I was
Saturday
just trying
afternoon.
To change the subject because AJ was going on the dangerous slope here.
Yeah, he looked great.
So I felt.
Hey, Fred, you brought it up, man. Don't blame AJ.
It looks like Jiří Procházka is going to be the next opponent for Glover.
He's going to destroy him.
I think so.
Glover, I love you. I'm happy you got that title. Enjoy it. Sleep with it a couple of times. But Yuri's going to be taking it away from you, my friend.
Yuri's coming.
It's just a matter of time.
But who cares at this point? The thing is that Glover Teixeira won, man. At 42 years old, man. Let's not forget. The guy pulled off something that everybody went against. Nobody thought he was going to
be known as a UFC champ.
Listen, he's a UFC champion now. Even if he holds that belt for another month, who cares? It's Glover Teixeira. He fought John Jones 7 years ago for that title. And here we are in 2021. John Jones is still bagging away. We don't know what the hell's up with him. He's getting arrested all the time. But Glover Teixeira is holding a belt, man. John Jones can call all the shit he wants, but Glover pulled it off. And you know what? I'm happy for that dude. He deserves it. When he first came into the UFC, man, I had, like I said, this guy would be a future champion. And over the years, I never thought that would happen. And here we are, 2021. Dave, it was an awesome. It was awesome, man. Glover did what he had to do. Went for the submission, closed it out. And here's a guy at 42 years old, man. It's never too late for the old guys.
Yeah.
Never too late.
I mean, at a certain point, it is too late. You know, I mean, you're 50, 59 or something. I figure you're probably not going to be world champion in the UFC.
No,
you think a 59-year-old champion could be possible in the UFC? I mean, I'd say probably not.
AJ still believes he has a chance.
He does. AJ, didn't AJ tell us 59,
he has like 2 years left.
Didn't he tell us last week he could beat somebody in a fight? There was somebody he said he could beat.
Connor. Connor,
everybody.
Yeah, Connor McGregor. It's ridiculous.
Listen, man, don't get mad at me. Listen, don't get mad at me. Look. Listen, Anthony Robbins is a great friend of mine. And in fact,
a great
Anthony
friend.
Robbins.
Call him.
He is a great fight.
Call him up.
You don't believe people? Guys,
no. Call him up right now. Get him on the show.
Oh,
if
he's
a great friend.
That? Okay, I'm gonna prove
really.
It. I'm going to prove
I don't
to you.
Really.
I sat with Anthony Robbins way back when I was young. Me and him sitting down, talking life. I'm not joking. AJ doesn't bullshit when it comes to that stuff. But you'll see. He was a cool guy. Actually, Anthony Robbins, man, he taught me a lot. Awesome
All right,
guy.
AJ.
Awesome guy.
I know. I've heard the story so many times. You're such an old man at this point. You tell the same stories over and over again. Isn't that true, Fred? Like, doesn't AJ just tell the same stories over and over again? You need new stories.
Like, you know, that was the past.
He probably does, but you know what? So do I, so I won't be too hard on him.
No, not like AJ.
Freddy.
Not like AJ
does.
I think
it's more because of the weed, though.
Yeah, no, Fred, you don't. You don't really tell the same stories over and over again like AJ does. AJ just rehashes the same stories over and over.
Well, it's like recanting the past.
They're great
man.
Stories,
so
though, AJ. They are great stories. I love all,
I was trying to
all
say
your crazy
something.
Tales.
Lost my,
That's okay.
Lost
I'd rather
my train of thought.
I'd rather do that. I'd rather lose
I was
your
say
train
something.
Of thought.
No. Wait. It was important. It was
no,
important.
Angelo says, "Shut up, AJ." And I like that. Shout
Again,
out to Angelo.
What the hell?
Angelo watching us on YouTube and on Twitch as well. Shout out to our Twitch viewers.
What?
Shout out to Brooklyn Lizard watching us on YouTube. Shout out to ZPAC05, maybe ZPAC05, watching us over on Twitch. ZPAC. Shout out to you, ZPAC, watching us on Twitch. Appreciate you. UFC 268, we're going to preview that sucker in just a couple of minutes here. I want to talk about Khamzat Chimaev and how impressive he was on Saturday afternoon. And the talk was that he might fight Nate Diaz, that Nate Diaz might be his opponent here, which I think puzzled some people. It's a fight that I wouldn't mind seeing. I like Nate Diaz. He's a good fighter. Khamzat is an exciting fighter. Let's see what happens. I just think that Nate Diaz probably gets throttled by Khamzat Chimaev. And, you know, what's the point? There was talk of Nate Diaz versus Tony Ferguson. That seems more appropriate at this time. That seems like a better move. Fred, you were talking to me about this week, right?
Yeah, well, Nate versus Khamzat is basically like the UFC wanting Nate. This is the way I see it, is wanting Nate to look bad on his final fight on his contract. You know, try to, because right now Nate Diaz has only one fight on his UFC contract. There's a lot of speculation that, hey, he might be leaving the UFC after that because he wants to get paid big bucks. Is he worth big bucks? I think so. Nate's a big draw, but the UFC is not in their habit to be giving big contracts to guys that are like up and down. You know, Nate Diaz loses a lot. Are they really going to give him that much money? If they're not, they might as well like try to use Nate Diaz and make somebody else a name with Nate Diaz. And that's perfect for Khamzat. So yeah, like on paper, it's a great fight. But if I'm Nate Diaz, I'm not accepting it. I'm saying, nah, man, I'm a veteran here. I wouldn't see that as Nate ducking anybody. It's just Nate making sure that his career is number one. Like, Nate's been there for the UFC. He's fought a lot of fights for them. But I would have no problem with Nate saying, nah, I'm not interested in
Too
that
late.
Fight. And if I were to
Too late, Freddy.
Tell him what to do, that's what I would tell him to do.
But there seems to be this belief among both Diaz brothers that they're a fight away from a title shot at all times. They always kind of come in and say, hey, if I win this fight, like even Nick, when he was fighting Robbie, he's like, well, if I win this fight, maybe I'll get a title shot. I think I should be next for the belt. And Nate said that. I mean, Nate went up in his last fight to fight Leon Edwards. I don't think Nate realizes where he's at in his career. Like we kind of see it, you know, like Leon Edwards is up there among the top 3 to 5 in the 170-pound division. And Nate Diaz, I think, sees himself as one of the best at 155 or even at 170 as well. I think Nate Diaz has that belief in him. As you know, it's good that he does, but I think he believes he could beat Kamaru Usman. I think on the right night, I think he believes he could beat anybody in the UFC. And I think that he might believe he could beat Khamzat Chimaev. And with the hype around this guy, I think a guy like Nate Diaz or a guy like Neil Magny, who also called out Khamzat, realizes, hey, you know, this guy is untested. He hasn't really faced the elite of the elite. Let's see. He's got a lot of hype on him. Let's see what we can do. Maybe we can beat him, and then the hype could transfer over to us. And I could see Nate, like, if he beats Khamzat, maybe he gets the next title shot against the winner of Kobe and Kamaru. It is definitely a possibility.
Weed's a hell of a drug, Dave. Weed's a hell of a drug.
What are
man.
You talking about? Like, look, Nate Diaz, if he beats Khamzat, people might be calling for it. Like, if Nate Diaz comes through and finishes Khamzat, chokes him out or something, people might be saying, you know, triangle choke or something with the middle fingers up, Nate Diaz style. People might be saying, hey, give this man a title shot. Nate Diaz is still the man. Let's see what he can do. Like, it's possible. I don't think it's going to happen, AJ. I'm not predicting
Leon's
that.
Leon's going to get the shot. He has a win over Nate. Now, Nate's a bigger star. He could always, like, jump over somebody.
Exactly. But even Leon.
I think for Nate, what's the most important is his next contract. And, you know, if he doesn't look good in his next fight, that hurts his next contract, I feel. So, like, if I'm Nate, I'm a little bit selective on who I want to fight. I'm a veteran. I've been there before. You mentioned title. Yeah, a guy like Nate, he's a big name. He'll always be in the title picture with one or two wins against a marquee guy. But I think Nate, at this point in his career, should be more about matchups, like big matchups that make him a lot of money. And the title, if it's in contention, great. If it's not, it's not that important. I think Nate right now, he should be about big fights, big money, and think about his next contract. Now, if this fight happens, I'm going to love it. And maybe Nate has a chance. Like, I'm not going to sell him short, but I feel this is a bad matchup where Cam's at. Look what he did this weekend. Remember what Rory did to Nate? Like, yeah. Nate's still a small guy at 170. Cam's at's a big 170. So yeah. I don't know, man. I don't like that matchup for Nate. And if I were him, think of your next contract.
Dave, I think Tony Ferguson makes sense, or keep chasing that Conor McGregor fight. I think Conor and Nate should finally fight here. I think Conor's towards the end of the road. I think Nate's towards the end of the road. They should finally do that trilogy fight here. That should be next for both guys. If I were Nate, I'd be pushing for that.
But Nate should be playing hardball on that contract. Like, he has one fight left. If you want me to fight Conor, I want some big money. Like, make this worth my while. Like, right? If I were Nate, play hardball a little bit, man.
Yeah.
Freddie, I was just about to say that. I mean, like, even though it's on his last fight on his contract, I mean, you can hardball all you want. Nate already said it. He doesn't care. He already said that he was going to fight Khamzat. There's no problem with Nate. Nate will fight anybody, anytime, anywhere. The thing is that if he has a good fight, okay, if he ends up having a good fight, even if he loses, anything is possible. Dana White said it. He says, like, a lot of people were dissing him for, like, putting up Nate against Khamzat as if he's going to be fed to the wolves and that kind of stuff, and Dana's trying to kill the guy before he leaves the UFC. That's not true. Dana White loves the Diaz brothers, always did. He's giving him a fight because he believes that Nate can give some threat to Khamzat. I don't think that's going to happen. We saw what happened last weekend. Khamzat's a beast. And Li Jianling, man, he's a beast. And I'm going to tell you something. Even Jianling would give stiff competition to Nate. And let's be honest, man. If Nate fights well and he looks good, Dana White could come around and give him a 3-fight contract where one of those 3 fights can end up being the fight with Conor McGregor. And that can happen in 2022, depending what happens with Conor the beginning of 2022. Anything's possible. But if Conor doesn't look so great, you know, who knows? Maybe that's what they're setting up. I don't see the end of Nate Diaz. I don't see Nate Diaz leaving the UFC anytime soon. I think he's going to get another 3-fight contract, and we're going to see like a hurrah with him and McGregor.
I like how AJ says, oh, well, Dana White tells us that he's not feeding Nate Diaz to the wolves. He believes Nate Diaz is a legitimate threat to Khamzat. Well, I mean, he would say that.
Lies.
He's the promoter of the fight. What's he going to say? Oh, well, I'm doing this because Nate's got one more fight on his contract, and I really want to make Khamzat into a bigger name, so I figure I have him beat Nate Diaz, one of the biggest names we have, and then he'll be a really big name, and I have him fight for the title, and I can make more money off Khamzat. Dana's not going to say that shit, AJ. He can't promote a fight and be like, when is the last time Dana White said, oh, yeah, this fight's going to be a walkover. This guy's going to just destroy this other guy. When has Dana White ever promoted a fight in the history, the thousands of fights in the history of the promotion? When has Dana White ever said, oh, it's going to be a walk in the park for this guy. It's going to be really easy. He always tells you it's going to be a tough fight because he's a fucking promoter, AJ.
Listen, I'm
going to
tell you
something. Nate is not interested in Khamzat, by the way. Nate posted a video on Instagram of a basketball player, Russell Westbrook, who's known for this meme where he's like, no, I don't want to fight. No, I'm not interested. Nate's not really interested in Khamzat. Khamzat, he's the young, like, hungry guy that, you know, not that many people know, man. That's not a marquee matchup for Nate, man. Nate should not be fed to the wolves, man. And if Nate is smart, man, get a better matchup, man. Try to get that rematch with Connor. Try to get paid there. Try to get a rematch with Jorge. Like,
not gonna happen.
Those are the Tony type Ferguson. Of fights for Nate.
Ferguson.
Yeah, Ferguson makes great sense.
Yeah, that makes sense out of all. Like, I agree with you on that one. Tony Ferguson, Nate Diaz. It's the end of their careers. Let them fight. People will watch. That'll be a pay per view fight. But you know what? Khamzat doesn't need Nate Diaz to be known right now. Khamzat did it himself. Alone, man. The way he fought last week, man, was unbelievable. And I was one of the skeptics saying that, look, he's coming back from COVID. He retired from the UFC because it was so bad with COVID. I mean, the guy was spitting up blood at one point. This is not a joke. But here he came back, and I was like, I picked Khamzat to win. But remember what I said? I said, man, this is one of the fights where I'm a little nervous because I don't know how Khamzat's going to perform after COVID. A guy was spitting blood, a guy who didn't have, like, the best training camp. But holy shit, he came back last week and he looked better than anybody I've ever seen come back. I mean, this guy is just amazing. So I don't think he needs Nate to be a known name now. Khamzat is a known name, in my opinion.
Yes, I think
only 3 COVID mentions. But,
yeah, exactly. There you go again. Yeah, AJ, for sure, Khamzat is a guy that is known right now to certain segment of the UFC fan base, but he would be more well-known if he were to fight Nate Diaz in a high-profile pay-per-view fight. Like, you can't deny that. It's not deniable.
Somebody mentioned Neil Magny, and I read that this week. And I like the idea of that because it's on a short-notice fight, which is something Khamzat has done. He hasn't fought for, like, a year now, so if he's able to take another fight, like, pretty quick, go ahead. Magny is a decent name, but I feel like Khamzat would probably beat him. But hey, that's more of a matchup, I think, for Khamzat. Or a Chiesa, like we were saying the other day. Those are the fights I would do for Khamzat right now.
Yeah, Michael Chiesa, Neil Magny both seem like good options for Khamzat right now. I agree with you, Fred, once again. Bang on. And AJ.
Yeah, but they're not. Look, they're not the most exciting fights if you're going to put a Diaz. For sure, you're going to have more eyes on that card. Like, a Chiesa is not going to be like, ooh, I got to, like, hold up everything just to see Chiesa fight like Khamzat. No, man. Khamzat, you know what?
So you want to see Khamzat fight Nate?
I want to see Khamzat fight Nate. You know what? Because I believe in Nate being able to at least make it competitive.
You think he's going to beat him?
It's going to end bad for him.
Oh, okay.
No, he's not going to beat him. But
so I
want to
see him. You
want
to see Nate fed to Khamzat. You think Khamzat will crush him, and you want to see that?
Listen, man, everybody always talks about it. Nate comes out to fight, man. No one's being fed to no one. The guy's a fighter. He's been fighting since he was like 16 years old, and he's proven that since he was 16. He doesn't care who he fights, but when he comes to fight, he performs. So he's not being fed to anybody. He's coming out to fight. Everybody has a puncher's chance. You know, everybody does.
Yeah.
You saw that with Glover Teixeira last weekend. So you know what? Anybody has a chance. But just given the fact that Khamzat is just like, just unbelievable from what we saw. I don't think Diaz has what it takes to go into the latter rounds.
I think he would struggle.
Just get stronger.
He'd struggle with the strength of Khamzat, with the size of Khamzat, and with the wrestling of Khamzat. And that's the kryptonite to the Diaz brothers. Elite level wrestling, historically, is how you beat both of them.
Oh, absolutely. But it's not like, if I'm not mistaken, Khamzat got knocked out once and he got submitted once. I mean, you got Diaz that's going to make fireworks in the first round. And that's what people want to see. Even like, we've seen it so many times. First round, second round, he starts going down.
Whoa, stop. What? What? Khamzat got knocked out and submitted?
I'm just going off the back of my head here. I'm just saying.
Which win? Yeah, which win where he finished his opponent? In which victory of his 10-0 record did he lose by knockout or submission when he knocked six of 10 and submitted 4 of his 10 opponents in the professional ranks? He also had a perfect 3-0 amateur record and has a 23-0 freestyle wrestling record
well. I made a mistake.
Yeah, you made a big mistake. Khamzat is undefeated. Nobody's beaten Khamzat. What are you talking about?
Wait. I was just thinking of his past career.
I
might have made a mistake, and I apologize.
You might have
relax.
Made a mistake.
Don't get crazy on
AJ
me.
Facts. AJ was too much on the hot streak this weekend with his AJ facts being right. Now we're back to normal. Bizarro world is finished.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
Well, listen, man.
He was getting everything right last weekend. It was weird. What are you trying to make sure of?
Actually, four things right. I just got to check something.
Tell you what, man. While we're giving so much love to Khamzat, I keep on saying, man, the guy that was the most impressive last weekend was Islam.
I apologize.
Oh, what? You didn't believe us? You had to check?
Yeah, he didn't believe it.
Damn right I had to check, man. Usually I'm not off with the facts.
I was going
to
say, man, the guy that was the most impressive this weekend was Islam, man. That submission on Hooker, man, that was beautiful. That was some grappling. Well, Khamzat also, but I mean, man, Islam Makhachev, I'll tell you what, man, I could see him being next in line for the title. I'd love to see that. Poirier, Gaethje, and Chandler are fighting this weekend.
Forget it.
Maybe they have a word to say, but man, Makhachev, man, he's been so impressive, man. I hope he gets the next title shot.
Let's stop waiting around, man. Give Islam a shot. Islam was talking at the press conference after the fight saying, look, Gaethje's fought for the title. Chandler's fought for the title. Let's give it to somebody else. Let's get some new blood in there fighting for the belt. And I could not agree with him more. It's Islam's time. I believe that Islam is the guy right now. I think that, the lightweight division needs some fresh blood. And I think Islam Makhachev should be next against the winner of Oliveira and Poirier. My only concern with that, I think that he probably gets it. But my only concern with that is that Conor McGregor may just get Dustin Poirier if Poirier wins the belt or even loses to Charles Oliveira. But if Poirier does win, I could see them just giving the shot to Conor, giving him a title shot, giving him a rematch with Poirier because he's Conor McGregor just on the strength.
A lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. Just on the strength of Conor. Patrick C. Hamilton dropping a super chat. He's saying, why are you letting facts get in the way, Dave? That's true, Patrick.
Exactly.
I shouldn't let facts get in the way of a good story from AJ.
Super chat.
Angelo.
Facts were right last week with AJ.
Angelo Contagone is dropping a super chat saying, calm down, AJ. Calm down, AJ. Thank
you,
guys.
Okay, Angelo. I love you, bud. I love you. You're right. Sometimes AJ gets a little bit wild, especially when he eats ginseng.
Wow, and Brooklyn Lizard coming to your defense. Brooklyn Lizard always coming to your defense. I'm suspicious about this Brooklyn Lizard. Is this somebody you know, AJ?
Man, some people
Brooklyn Lizard is always on your side. I always see Miss Brooklyn Lizard.
Well, good
She's
for
always
her. Thank
defending
you,
AJ. She's always pro-AJ. Very suspicious about this. I'm suspicious of anyone that's pro-AJ and seemingly not pro-Dave or Fred.
But that's normal with some people getting mad at Dave. It's normal. You should be like used to that. How many people have come out and actually come out and threatened you, wanted to fly the Canada to
Not
fight?
Not to my
you?
Face.
That's normal.
Not to my face.
Well, they did it.
No one's coming to my face and
That's
saying
the
anything.
Difference. How many times have we had that happen? Listen, Dave, man, is loved, and sometimes he's not so loved. But you know what?
As first I hear about it, I didn't know that. Nobody says anything to me.
What?
As far as I'm concerned, I'm just loved. Hey, listen, Angelo's pro Dave and Fred. Thank you, Angelo.
Of course.
Yeah. And,
could be pro AJ. It's okay, Angelo.
I want to give a shout out.
Next time we go to Orange Julep.
You know who's pro Dave and anti AJ? Joanne, the White Lion Lainez. He's definitely pro Dave. He's not he's pro anti AJ. I spoke to him earlier. He said, okay, that AJ guy's the worst. Yeah.
We're only on the same fucking team. You know? But
yeah. Congratulations. No, I didn't talk to him. Congratulations to the White Lion.
That was amazing, man.
Amazing. What a knockout. He came in, he was a big underdog for the fight. I'm kicking myself. I was about to go to the Depeter or actually I was gonna place a bet on I was gonna place a bet on Bet99, but I had to go to the Depeter and I missed it out. So
wasn't I didn't place he a bet underdog on him. At one point?
Yeah, he was a big underdog. He was like 2-3-1 underdog, and he came in, he knocked the guy out in the first round, and he won the fight. It was very impressive.
It was crazy, man. Yeah. Listen, man, and you see how fast Dana White like brought him up, like right away, like Johan, come on, man, you got a UFC contract. And if you saw like Dana's reaction through that fight when he took him down, Dana was flipping out. I think at one point he goes, "I told you so," or something like that. You know, I mean, there was so much hype on the White Lion, and he delivered. We talked a lot about him on it Saturday.
We hyped him.
We were talking a lot about Johan.
We hyped him last week and maybe on Saturday too. But this guy is legit. Johan Lainez, really
real
impressive,
deal,
undefeated. Won his fight on the Dana White Contender Series. One of only two guys who got a contract on the show. It was quite a performance from the White Lion coming in, beating that guy who was an English fighter, young guy. And Michael Bisping was on commentary. He wouldn't stop talking about how good this guy was, and he wasn't too impressed with Lainez. And then, boom, Lainez knocks his boy out, and the English guy was undefeated as well, and Lainez comes through. Big win for him. Gets a UFC contract, so we're going to see more of him in the welterweight division. Joanne the White Lion, Lainez. And, you know, this guy, if he's training on a regular basis with Lee Villeneuve, you know he's going to be very good. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's on the mats on a regular basis training with a guy like that, you're going to be, you're going to improve pretty quickly. You know, when that fight went to the ground, I knew that Joanne was all right. He was in a guillotine at one point early in the fight, and I knew that he was going to pop out of that because he's training with some real, real top jiu-jitsu guys. He had Patrick Cote there in his corner as well. AJ, I know you're a part of
that
team,
awesome.
The BTT team, so you can speak to how good they are and how good Lainez is going to be.
Listen, and we talked about this for a while. It's not just because he's from Quebec or, like, you know, same team. We have, like, sort of, like, connections. The truth is that the guy is that good, and he was, like, so under the radar. And, like, coming out of Quebec, I'm really happy that we have great fighters that have come through Quebec and ones that are coming now, like, that are going to make a big splash in the UFC. I mean, it's great for the Quebec market. It's great for the Quebec teams. And it's great for the athletes because, you know, everybody knows George. And there were so many guys after George, but they never got to that status, obviously, like George. But a guy like Johan, the guy comes in and I love the way he does his interviews. He's, you know, he's fluently bilingual. The guy is able to say things and express himself in ways that sometimes George had a hard time. This guy really comes out. He's a grit fighter. He comes to put on a performance. He reminds me of Nate, man. Nate comes in and he loves to perform. You know, Colby Covington, he loves to come out and fight. He loves to perform for his fans. And that's what I like with these fighters. These guys know that it's also the business of marketing, man. They come out, they put on a show. And even if Johan loses, he always, which I doubt he's going to lose in the next little while, but if he would lose, you're still going to love him because he comes out to win.
Yeah. He's
even
a gamer.
If he loses,
still
wins. He's
got
a gamer,
true,
man.
He's got warrior spirit. He's got true heart of a fighter. Fred, what are you laughing at? I see you laughing at AJ. What are you laughing at? Just going on and on. AJ Vortex.
Typical AJ, man. Vortex, man. Fanboy, man.
No, man,
I shouldn't have let him talk about BTT. I shouldn't have let him go on and on about a guy. AJ, this guy's really good. That was my mistake. I shouldn't have said, AJ, this guy's really good, eh? Pretty good. Because anytime I say, hey, AJ, yeah, you should compliment this guy, and then AJ will go on, and you compliment him for an hour
Listen,
or two,
man.
And then we'll be here
I
forever.
He was talking about earlier, but he said this guy's going to be a champion, and in my head I wanted to say, AJ, you think like 50% of the roster is going to be champion at some point.
Yeah, well, earlier,
when
he was talking about Glover Teixeira, I wasn't going to bring it up, but now that you mentioned it, Fred, when AJ was talking about Glover Teixeira, he goes, I thought at the beginning when he was in the UFC, he was going to be champion, and then I didn't think he was going to be champion, and now he's champion, and I always knew it. And I'm like, what?
No. Don't misinterpret me there,
that's
American
what you said.
Lawyer, for like
put
for
that
the,
one on TikTok.
I want to say what presidential campaign. I'm going to tell you something. What I said is let me refresh you so that this way here the transcripts come up.
Yeah. Revise history. Revise history, AJ.
No. What I said is when Glover came into the UFC.
It's all recorded,
coming
here
from the Brazilian scene.
Yeah.
I know it's recorded, and I'm glad it is because you guys were wrong four times last week on Saturday, and AJ was right.
Yeah.
Four facts. But
that's not
you,
true. That was edited out.
No. Was it? You mother. But it's okay. I actually I don't worry. I've already taped it. It's already done. It's ready.
I didn't edit anything out, AJ. I don't know what you're talking about.
I know, but listen. Honestly speaking, when Glover first came to the UFC, I was looking at this guy. I'm like, oh my god, this guy has the potential to be a future champion. But as the years went on, and he won some, he lost some. You know, you're like, man, he's never gonna be what I thought he was gonna be. But he proved us wrong last Saturday. You know. None of us pick Glover.
Oh, my God.
Win.
Are you
no going to
go on about
not
Glover
us.
Now? Okay, no, I get it. I get it. You always believed in Glover. You knew it. You picked him to win. You knew it.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. You didn't.
I didn't believe in him, through the years. I just didn't believe him.
We picked
him
all the
Saturday.
Fights, right?
When Glover was a little boy and AJ was an adult, AJ
a
told him,
Glover.
You're going to be a champion one day, man. And AJ's a proud moment.
I kind of
right
said
now.
That to a few
That's
guys.
Right.
Yeah,
AJ was Glover's first coach.
Guys, motherfuckers.
AJ's old enough. AJ's old enough to have been an adult when Glover Teixeira was a kid. How crazy is that? It's true.
You guys, man, I swear.
Like,
man,
we think of
wonder.
Glover Teixeira as like
Joe
the old
Rogan
UFC.
Is asking for applications.
We think of he's not. You think of Glover Teixeira as like the old UFC fighter, but when Glover Teixeira was like five, AJ
Teixeira.
Was well in his whatever. When Glover was say 10,
Take
AJ was like.
There.
20 or something, you know, AJ was an adult. Crazy, AJ.
I'm telling you.
Amazing.
I'm telling you. All to say
Your
is,
math is not
you know
great.
What, Glover Teixeira?
Mine? It's about right.
42 years old.
Close enough.
That would mean AJ's
42.
Like 60, man, at
he
least.
He is.
Yeah, take it easy, man. What the hell's up with you guys?
Roughly 75.
Thing, man. You know, Cheech and Chong special for sure. Listen, what was I saying about Johan? All I'm saying is, put your money on Johan on the first fight in the UFC.
On all
because this
fights.
Guy is going to deliver fireworks.
Yeah.
And I remember
no,
also why
man.
I laughed when Holy AJ God. Mentioned he was bilingual. I said to myself, maybe he should work for Air Canada with all the controversy this week.
I'm saying. Telling you, man, Quebec, there's one thing with Quebec. I'm
Fred,
tell
why
you
are you going
Quebec
there?
Is. No. Fred's got a point.
Just saying,
Quebec,
you asked why
Quebec
I laughed.
Is the best.
I just being honest.
Quebec is the best province. It's a real soap opera here. If you live in Quebec, it's a 24/7 soap opera.
This guy was
he's
what?
Right.
This guy, he's like, I don't speak French in Montreal, and it's all right. And it's like, well, how old is this guy? He looks about 60-something years old, right? This Air Canada guy?
Yeah.
And he's been living in Montreal for 14 years. So he comes to Montreal.
His last
with,
name is Russo.
Yeah, so what? A lot of guys have French last
he's
names
Italian.
And don't speak French. Look.
The Karate Kid is Russo.
But
if your name
like,
is Russo and you lived in Quebec, you should speak French. But I don't care, actually. You could do whatever you want.
If the guy, has
it,
if the guy's only lived in Montreal for 14 years, do you expect him to learn French in his 50s?
You see, that's
not
how much
sure,
I know
man.
The story.
I
didn't know
French.
It was 14 years.
I thought he's only been here for like 14
friend.
Years. And that's not that. I mean, to me, it's like, you're a business guy. You want to do. See, what the people would want is like they'd say, well, Air Canada then. See, what Air Canada would do would be like, you want all our CEOs to speak French? Well, we're going to move our headquarters to Toronto, and then you'll fucking lose all sorts of jobs. It's not a good system we have here of, like, just demanding everybody speak
there.
A language. I don't really care if you speak English. I don't give a shit what language. You can speak fucking
Google
Chinese.
Translate.
Yeah,
hello?
I don't give a shit.
Oh, freaking hell, Freddy.
My
we're
neighbor,
gonna have
she's a child.
Says on our back now because of Dave.
My neighbor's an old Chinese lady, and I always communicate with Google Translate with her because she doesn't speak French or English. And I think I think we comprehend each other, but I'm not always sure because I'll show her my phone with
Is
my translation that I typed, and she'll go, yeah. But is she just being polite, or is she really understanding? I don't know.
She probably doesn't understand you, Freddie, because I'll be honest, man. You know what?
Google Translate,
French,
man, it's the best.
I know plenty of people that live in
God
Montreal. I know plenty people that live in Montreal that don't speak French for shit.
What? La langue française after them, Esprit. What do you think this is?
What?
Ontario.
I mean, there are ways to do it.
David,
it exists.
David Simon.
I barely speak French in my day-to-day life.
What?
I mean, well, I'm an Anglophone speaker.
Listen,
I'm at home.
Everybody.
I speak English with my family. I called my grandmother a couple days ago.
Viewers.
Last time I spoke French was probably when I called my grandmother a couple days
ago. AJ's more offended than me.
Yeah, I don't know why you're offended.
Better prove that AJ's French. More
like
French
I'm half.
Me.
I'm half French Canadian, but it's like I don't speak French all the time because like it doesn't come up that much.
I'm Italo-Québécois.
I live in the West End of Montreal. You know,
no, you don't. You live in the most French part of like Montreal, by the way. You know that, eh?
Well, I speak French sometimes when I go to a store and it's a French speaking person. But you know, I mean, when I talk to my dad, I speak to him in English.
Met de Betsu Johan, please.
You know what I mean? I mean, AJ, when you talk to like your when you talk to you know your kid, what language do you speak to him in?
To be honest, right now he babbles. I don't know what language. Sometimes I feel like I'm talking Chinese to him. You know, like
yeah. Well, he doesn't understand you either. Believe
je comprends pas, little AJ. Je comprends pas. But you know what? Honestly speaking, I want to make sure that he learns French. There's no doubt about it. If he can speak Italian, Greek, German, I don't care. The most important thing is, like, to be honest, like, to be a CEO of, like, a major corporation that's bilingual, at least have, like, some basic French, like, est-ce que je peux avoir
sorry,
a Big
Dave.
Mac? That's all you have to say, man. But he can't even say that kind of stuff.
I don't know. Why? Why does he have to do that, though? You know, I don't get that. I don't understand.
Man, listen, it's like me going to Japan and going for, like, New Japan Wrestling, and I'm, like, the manager for some wrestling show. I'm going to know, like,
let me just put it
gato,
this way, okay? And
stuff.
Let's end it here. Let's end it here.
Let's let Fred
end it. People mad at the guy for not speaking two languages, only speak one. Oh, fuck them.
There you go. I agree, Fred.
Freddie.
I agree. Well, I think that you should, you're allowed to criticize a guy for not speaking two languages if you yourself speak two languages and can do it. If you don't speak two languages, you really don't have a leg to stand on. It's a good point.
Exactly.
It's a good point. But I speak two languages, and I don't really give a shit if this guy... I speak almost three languages. My Spanish is pretty good. AJ's trilingual.
Better than mine.
Right? AJ speaks Italian and French and English.
Well, I speak,
but like, I just don't give a shit what language a person speaks. I don't care how they speak, unless they're talking to me directly, in which case I'd like for them to speak a language that I can understand so that we can communicate. Other than that...
Google Translate, Dave.
Yeah,
man.
Google Translate.
Always
I don't
have
give
your
a shit.
Close.
I don't give a shit. Let's talk about UFC 268. I don't know what Fred did there. UFC 268.
But you know what? Listen, just going back to like the language.
Let it go,
I mean,
AJ.
Like,
no, AJ. No, no, AJ.
No,
we're not going
go.
Back. It's fucking
it's
over.
It's going to tie into 268. It's going to tie into 268. Tabarnouche.
Just give us a Ale Brandon.
Ale Brandon.
Dios mio.
Listen, Dave doesn't know what he's talking about. Listen, all I'm saying, Dave, is that having English in the UFC is a strong point. Just like George was able to at least communicate in English,
of course.
He was really marketable. And that's the thing with Usman or Khamzat or whatever. It doesn't matter what country you come from. Having that English is much more marketable than not. Like, you know, there's some guys that could get away with it, like Fedor. I don't even know if Fedor speaks English, to be
no,
honest.
No, because he doesn't
but
give a shit. I mean,
but that's not a meme. Let's be honest.
Let's get back
to
fighting with this. You saw that meme this week where Dana supposedly said, like, if Fedor would have been about big bucks, he could be, like, retired right now. And then people were showing, like, Tito Ortiz, Anderson Silva, and a bunch of former UFC old-timers that are not retired right now because they probably didn't make enough money.
No, Anderson Silva made a hell of a lot of money. He made more money with Burger King than, like, most people did at one point. He made millions. Don't worry about Anderson Silva.
I think he just likes to
these
fight.
These guys just like to fight. Yeah, that's it. They like
maybe
to fight. Tito
there's
Ortiz
more money on the
fight
table. There's money on the table. They could make more money fighting, so why not take it? You know? Why not?
Look, and they had, like, they had some... Look, Tito Ortiz, man, had, like, things outside of fighting. I mean, at one point, he was in politics. Yes, he did get kicked out. But you know what? The guy was able to go... like elsewhere than fighting, and he's
all right
made like good money.
So speaking of Tito Ortiz, I think we've got the new Tito Ortiz and the UFC. I think Tito and Colby Covington would agree on a lot of things.
Oof.
These guys definitely feel the same way about a lot of things, and they're very vocal about their political beliefs. They're very political. This show got political even tonight. I don't know what's happening with the show. I think the Colby Covington fever has taken over the Ringside Report Network as well. We've all got different opinions on this, which I find interesting. Kamaru, but I think Fred and I basically agree, and AJ's just on his own. AJ's outraged. AJ's outraged about that guy, right? I think that's what we got. Fred?
Outrage about who?
But I'm
that
surprised.
Guy, the, hold on. I don't want, I don't want, hold on, hold on. I don't want AJ involved in this. I think AJ, I just want to discuss AJ's thoughts with Fred. I think AJ was maybe, he was like outraged with the CEO guy. He was mad that the guy didn't speak French. Are you mad with the guy for not speaking French?
Man, why are we back on this, man? I
just want to wrap it up real quick. I'm trying to figure out what AJ was saying.
I think he was, and I don't really care either.
But you and I agree. We don't give a shit, right?
Yeah, I don't care, man.
All right.
I really don't. As long as Air Canada doesn't have any airline accidents, man, if things are flying well, I'm all good.
Exactly. All right, we'll bring AJ back now. UFC 268, Kamaru Usman
versus
Colby Covington. This is a big fight for the welterweight title. Kamaru Usman, since beating Colby Covington 2 years ago, has defeated Jorge Masvidal twice and Gilbert Burns once. He's looked pretty impressive. 19-1 is Kamaru Usman, undefeated in the UFC. He's a welterweight champion and has now defended the championship four times, looking for the fifth. And he looked good the first time he beat Masvidal, but the second time he beat Masvidal, he looked even better. So Kamaru Usman looks pretty good in rematches. I think that he's going to look really good in this rematch as well. I think that Kamaru Usman, the change that he made in his training camp, really improved the level of his striking. He is on a much higher level now with Trevor Whitman. His camp is focused around him. He has got a better system for preparing for high-level fights right now than he did the first time he fought Kobe, and I think than what Kobe currently has. Kobe left the American Top Team, which is one of the big gyms out there. He found a smaller gym, but it doesn't have the kind of world-renowned coaching. He's got some guys that I'm sure are good and you know, they know what they're doing, but we're talking about Kamaru Usman going over with Trevor Whitman, who's produced world champion after world champions. And the deal with Trevor Whitman, the story I've always heard with Trevor Whitman is people leave his camp because he's too expensive. If you're not a world champion, you can't afford a Trevor Whitman. But when you're at the upper echelon, when you're at the elite level, you want to go to the very best. And a lot of people go to Trevor Whitman because he's among the very best coaches in MMA. And you see the difference in Usman's striking from, you know, pre-Whitman to now with this guy. It's a different level. And the accuracy and the power, it's all coming together. The footwork, everything is far more evolved and far more intricate now, especially in the past couple of fights. Kamaru is hitting his mark on a different level than he was in his earlier UFC fights. He was a guy who would take you down, he would beat you up, and yeah, he would land some power shots standing up, but his technique wasn't as sharp as it could be. But now, forget about it. This is one of the most well-rounded mixed martial artists in the game today. Colby Covington is very tough. He's very game. He is a great wrestler. He took it to Kamaru Usman the first time. I think Colby Covington is Kamaru Usman's toughest fight. Kobe has a great chin. He's got great cardio. He's a hell of an athlete. But I think Kamaru's just that much better than him. And I think Kamaru Usman's going to win this fight. I like Kamaru Usman to finish Colby Covington again. And I think it's going to be earlier this time. I don't think this fight is going to be as close as it was last time. Last time Kamaru Usman finished Colby Covington in the fifth round, I see this one being done in the first two or three. I think Kamaru puts Kobe away quickly. I think he's gonna put a beating on him. You see what he did to Gilbert Burns, finished him 34 seconds into the third round. Jorge Masvidal finished him a minute and 2 seconds into the second round. It took him 6 minutes and 2 seconds to finish Jorge Masvidal. 6 minutes to finish Masvidal in his last fight. And this is April of 2021. Kobe's been inactive for a while as well. He hasn't fought since his win over Tyron Woodley back in September of 2020. Kobe's been waiting. He's been waiting for this fight. He's been preparing for this fight. I just don't see how he beats him. I think he's going to come up short. I got Kamaru Usman by knockout. AJ, I know you're going with Kobe.
Listen, man, I just thought the first fight that they had, it was unbelievable. And that's the thing with Kobe. Kobe, you know, there's not many fights where he hasn't attempted a takedown. And in the last fight with these guys, there was no takedowns. This is going to be a different game. This second fight, Kobe actually said it. He wasn't as prepared for the first fight. There was a lot of things. He wasn't at 100%. And I believe him. Being not 100%, he was still able to go the distance with Usman. If Kobe is able to do what he does best and deliver those kicks, which he has better kicks than Usman, the punching game, maybe Usman has that edge. But you know what? It's the volume that counts. And that's the thing with Kobe. If Kobe overwhelms you and continues to attack and drop those liver kicks, he's going to beat Usman. I think he has everything in his everything in his attitude, even like with the stare down where Usman pushed Kobe. I don't know if you saw that at the conference. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I mean, you can see that. You can see that Usman, when I saw that, like, honestly, that was enough for me to say Kobe's going to beat him. You can see that he got into Usman's head. Usman, to do that kind of stuff, I mean, he had to put all his power into that push to put Kobe back. I said, man, there's something wrong with Usman. There's something off his game. And for me, I look at all that kind of stuff, and that's how I make my decisions and wins. And a lot of times they come out. I was 6-7 for last week. I look at things not only about the fight or the lead up to the fight, but I see how they interact. I see how they talk. And I can tell you this, Kobe's focus into this fight is so high. He doesn't only want to beat him. He wants to destroy him. And he knows that nobody wanted to work with him, and he had to change gyms. And, like, you know, he had a lot of problems. You know, he knows Usman, and he fought Usman, man, like, almost to a victory the last fight, in my opinion. And you know what? He's going to do it on Saturday night. I think Kobe's going to come out and actually trash Usman. I really believe that he wasn't as prepared in that first fight. But this fight coming in, he is super prepared. Even though he didn't have three fights like Usman did, big deal. Masvidal, Gilbert Burns. Let's see what he does with Kobe, because if that wasn't his hardest fight of his career, the second fight on Saturday will be. Kobe for the victory. But I'm going to go with decision on this. I think he's going to go to distance.
I just watched this shove. I hadn't seen it before. My first reaction when I read about it was Marty is doing his part to selling the fight a little bit here. Kobe's been doing all the trash talk. Kamaru Usman needs to, you know, sell the fight also. So they're going to sell some pay-per-views. I don't put too much into that moment. Some guys lose their tempers at the weigh-ins. I think Dave said it the best when he was talking about the training, where Kamaru Usman has kept on evolving and Kobe Covington leaving American top team for another small team. I don't know. I'm not crazy about that move. I think to fight the elite, you got to train with the elite. So I'm going to give an edge to Usman on that, where I feel since their last fight, Usman probably has evolved more. And Kobe has only fought Tyron Woodley. And I'm sorry, Tyron Woodley, he's old. He's finished. He finished Woodley great on that, but it's not that impressive.
Yeah,
to
but don't
be
forget
Usman.
Robbie Lawler. Don't forget Robbie Lawler. You know, let's be honest. So, like, if you're going to look at guys that were out to.
Wasn't that before the fight with Usman? I think he only fought.
Well,
his
last three. No, I know that, but I'm saying his last three fights, he fought guys that were like. Pretty competitive. Even Woodley was competitive at that point, in a sense.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. Like,
he fought a lot of guys that were past their prime.
Wasn't competitive.
Robbie Lawler was no longer competitive.
That was Woodley's last fight in the UFC or some close. Anyways, that's not beating Woodley's not an impressive win. With that said, Usman beating twice Masvidal, I mean, that's not that impressive either. But he did beat Gilbert Burns, who's a high-ranked guy, man, right now. So Usman beat who he had to beat, and he's been active. As a fan, I'm pulling for Colby because I think a heel, a bad guy that says a bunch of stupid stuff helps to sell fights, and I love it. Honestly, I love all the nicknames. Marty Juiceman, CEO of EPO. I love that one.
Yeah.
I love the one he used for Kamzat that I won't repeat because I'm scared that Kamzat will hear me. But
I just said
I'm a fan of Colby, man. Colby brings, like, fun to the atmosphere. So as a fan, I hope he wins, but I'm gonna pick Usman, but I think this goes to decision. Colby's a tough guy. Listen, he'll make it to the end this time.
Freddie, he brings a dogfight, man, and that's the difference. And I think he's bringing in a huge dogfight on Saturday. And you know what? You're talking about the ATT. For sure, that's a huge gym. But when you have a lot of bad blood and people that are not really willing to work with you, even in the big gyms, you have to make that decision. Is it so important to be in a big-name gym to get that win or to go somewhere where you're comfortable to really focus on your fight? And that's what Colby did. That's a huge step, okay? But at the same time, maybe it wasn't so huge if he wasn't getting the support that he needed. It could have been political reasons. It could have been a lot of other stuff. Could have been, like, you know, the division between Usman and him. But you know what? Colby did the right thing for Colby. And to be honest, his pre-talk and everything leading up to this fight has such confidence in Colby. And you know what? There's something about this guy and something about the way he fought Usman in the last fight. He knows what to expect. He already knew what to expect because they've trained before in the past. These guys have a history together. And I'm telling you, if Colby is going to do what he does best and throw that kicking game and keep hitting that liver, I'm telling you, Colby's taking this fight. I really believe that he's going to win this. And AJ's been pretty good in the last months, man. I'm telling you.
Well, we'll see. I'm entertained by Colby. I think he is pretty good. That press conference was the press conference today was really good. Colby is quite the character. The fans were either into him or not. It was pretty wild. I didn't miss a super chat. I saw that. Thanks, Doug Hepburn, dropping a super chat asking a question to AJ about the Habs, which I just didn't want to address right now because we're talking about the UFC, and I don't want to get into another AJ Vortex about hockey at this moment in time. But AJ, I guess you can answer that question a little bit later on when we're done with the UFC preview. So two Kamarus and one Colby.
Wow.
It would be fun if Colby won.
He's going with them.
I don't love Colby. I think that he takes his antics are a little bit, I don't know, not my taste. But he is entertaining. He's fun to watch. And I think him as champion in the UFC would be pretty crazy because he would cause all sorts of havoc. So, yeah, chaos is real with Colby Covington. Yeah, well, that's it. Covington, man, he brings chaos. So I like chaos. Listen, I'm a fan of chaos. I'm not really a fan of his brand, but I like the chaos.
Listen, man, I'm going to tell you something. I put out, like, a story on Colby way, way back when he had a beef at the buffet table at the Vegas hotel. Man, I'm telling you, just that small, like, video that I put up brought me close to 1 million views. That's the thing with chaos. Mm-hmm. He brings in the eyes. People like him. And that's the same thing with Connor. And Freddie said it right. Sometimes you need that heel. You need that bad guy because the bad guy brings in the eyes. People want to see him lose, and people like him, man. It's just like, you know, I don't know. Let's think of Connor. Connor, people love Connor and people hate Connor, but they'll still come out to watch Connor. And that's the same thing with Chaos. If he wins and he wins as a champion, people are going to come out. And I can assure you this, Dana White and the brass at the top are going to be super happy because this guy brings entertainment at all levels.
All right. Well, if he loses, I think it's going to be really hard to walk back some of the things that he says. And if he loses in the fashion in which I believe he will, it could be a rough night for Colby Covington. Fred's got him by decision. I've got Kamaru. Fred's got Kamaru by decision. I've got Kamaru by knockout. AJ's going with Colby Covington by decision in this fight. Co-main event is for the UFC Strawweight Championship. It is a rematch. Thug Rose Namajunas taking on Zhang Wei Li. And, of course, Rose beat Zhang Wei Li in her last fight to recapture that women's 115-pound belt. Knocked her out in 78 seconds with a head kick. It was pretty damn impressive. And Zhang Wei Li wants revenge. She's been training with Henry Cejudo, training in the United States. She wants to come back and get that belt back. And the odds have her as a slight favorite. Zhang Wei Li right now over at bet99.com. Zhang Wei Li is minus 120. Rose Namajunas minus 105. Slight underdog. interesting here. I think Thug Rose gets it done once again. I remember when she beat Joanna the first time, knocked her out with the quickness. People said, oh, well, Thug Rose isn't going to win again. There's no way. It was a fluke, da-da-da. And she came in, I believe, as an underdog for the second Joanna fight, too, and she wound up winning a decision. I think she probably beats Zhang Weili by decision here. Again, I think it probably goes five rounds, and we see Rose winning on points. That's my feel on this fight. I got Rose winning by decision, but I could see it going either way. But I like Rose winning. I could see her winning by knockout, by submission, by decision. I'm leaning towards a decision, but overall, my pick is Rose Namajunas -105 for the win. I think she gets it done as a slight underdog. I'm surprised she's the underdog, right, Fred? Like, she won last time.
Yeah, exactly. She won and spectacular knockout. So I'm going to go with Rose also. Plus, I like Rose. She's a fun character. So hopefully she gets the job done. And I gotta like, if somebody wins, the person that lost needs to prove me that, you know, you could beat the person that just defeated you. So for now, I gotta say Rose is the better fighter of the two. So I'm gonna go with Rose.
Going with Thug Rose. AJ, what do you think?
Man, this is a tough one to call because Rose, man, her striking ability, like her striking power in the UFC is at the top. I mean, she has like 49% striking accuracy. You know, she's so like focused when she comes to her fights and whatnot. She's a beast. But something with Zhaili Wang, like she's so impressive. 29 years old still, guys. You know, Rose is 32 years old. Does that make a huge difference? Not much. But you know what? Like, the amount of training that Zhaili gets is, like, unbelievable in China.
Zhaili?
So at the UFC Performance Center.
Zhang Weili.
But you know what? Something about Rose that always, like, I wanna pick against her. I'm thinking, okay, she's going to lose this one. But every time I do that, I lose. So you know what? I'm going with Rose. I'm going with you guys. I think she's going to take it back.
There you go. We're unanimous with the underdog Thug Rose. What's your method of victory? How do you see this playing out? I'm going with Rose by decision.
I'm going the same way.
Freddie?
I like what you said earlier. I could see a lot of options, but to me, they are all with Rose winning. So I could see Rose knocking her out. I could see this going to decision. If you're going to make me take a choice, I'll go with decision with you guys. But hey, she could knock her. She did it before.
We'll get the AJ and Freddie parlays here in a minute for you, getting ready for UFC 268. As a reminder, we'll be on 10 p.m. Eastern time when the pay-per-view kicks off. We will kick off here with you a live watch-along on the Ringside Report Network. Be with us 10 p.m. Eastern time this coming Saturday. The pay-per-view is going to kick off with Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler. We thought this was going to be the third for main event, but it's going to open up the card because Gaethje is coached by Trevor Whitman, who's also coaching Rose Namajunas and Kamaru Usman. So it's to give him a little bit of a buffer time between the Gaethje and Namajunas fights. Gaethje and Michael Chandler. This is a great fight between two of the best lightweights in the world. A title shot could be on the line here, depending how impressive that they are. I think Dana White is waiting to see what Gaethje and Chandler do, and then he'll decide from there on who gets the winner of Poirier and Oliveira. And I think he's also waiting to see what happens between Poirier and Oliveira. Like I said earlier, I think if Poirier wins and is the UFC champion, the UFC might put Conor McGregor in there once again with Dustin Poirier when Conor heals up from his leg injury there. Let's get to Gaethje and Chandler. Gaethje -213, the favorite. Chandler +171, the underdog, over at bet99.com. I agree with those odds. I think Justin Gaethje is a little bit more durable than Michael Chandler. I think his hands are a little bit faster. I think Chandler's are a little bit heavier. I think he hits harder, but I think Chandler's going to put it on him and possibly knock him out. I got Justin Gaethje winning this one. I think he hurts Michael Chandler. I think his takedown defense is very good. Chandler won't be able to take him down. This one will be fought on the feet. This is going to be a firefight, and in a firefight, I like Justin Gaethje all day, every day. In a wild fight, take Justin Gaethje.
You know what, man? Early when I was looking at the odds, I was liking that odd of Chandler. But like you said, I don't think Chandler will be able to bring this fight to the ground. And Gaethje's a better striker. He's just like, especially in a barn burner, especially like when two guys want to scrap, it's hard to go against Gaethje. So I'm going to have to go with Gaethje. That odd for Chandler is a little like tempting, but no, I think Gaethje is the better fighter and he's going to get that win. I'll go for a decision. This is going to be a 3-round fight war. And I'll tell you what, man, I read this is a while back when this fight was announced. Gaethje, they said like, why isn't this fight a 5-rounder? And Gaethje said something smart, man. He said, I'm getting paid the same, man, for 3 rounds or 5 rounds. Why am I going to put my body through 2 more rounds of like torture and all that for the same money? And you know what? In the end, he's right, man. Like, I love to see those Nate Diaz fights being called for 5 rounds, you know, marquee fights and all that. But in the end, man, you're getting paid the same. You're there to win. Gaethje is going to be there to win. If he wins impressively, he puts his name for a fight against Oliveira, man, because, you know, he has a little tenureship on Islam. So maybe, you know, if he's impressive, he gets that next title shot. Or maybe Gaethje and Islam fight in this next fight. So I love this division. This should be a great fight. And Gaethje's going to win a barn burner, I say. A fight of the night, maybe.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a great fight. I've got Gaethje. Freddie's got Gaethje. AJ, you making it unanimous? What do you think?
Look, there's one thing with this guy, Gaethje. He comes out and he comes to perform. It's always a war. The thing is that he has 9 like bonuses in the UFC. There's a reason for that. This guy comes to scrap and put on a performance. When he throws those calf kicks, man, they're super dangerous. The only thing is that you were talking about like his submission defense and or takedown defense and whatnot. When he was fighting Khabib, man, it was certainly like an issue. The thing is that Michael Chandler, if he takes you to the ground, man, it could be a completely different story. But you know what? I have a hard time, and I want to go, like, honestly, I love Chandler. I want to see him, like, do well. But, man, this is not going to be an easy fight for him, and I'm going to go with you on this. I think Gaethje is going to win. I think he might even knock him out. So I think this is going to be a TKO victory for Gaethje.
Yep. Justin Gaethje, unanimous. We're all picking him to win over Michael Chandler. How about Frankie Edgar taking on Marlon Vera? Interesting fight here at 135 pounds. Frankie Edgar, 40 years old, former UFC lightweight champion, 24 wins, 9 losses on his pro record, coming off that flying knee knockout loss in just 28 seconds to Corey Sandhagen. He's lost to some of the very best, though. Sandhagen, Korean Zombie, Holloway, Ortega. And he's beat Pedro Munhoz and Cub Swanson in the past couple of years. His last win was Pedro Munhoz, a split decision in August of 2020. He's been losing more than he's been winning. But Marlon Vera is not a guy who's just crushing everybody. He's not crushing the competition. He's 2-2 in his last 4. Beat Davey Grant in his last fight. Lost to Jose Aldo before that. Huh? Yeah, he did beat Sean O'Malley.
That says it all right there, man.
Yeah, he's powerful. Well, so he's powerful, and Edgar's button could be pushed here. But Edgar has got some good wrestling. I could see Frankie coming up and pulling off the upset, getting a couple wins with some takedowns and some top control. But I think Marlon Vera probably hits Frankie and hurts him. I think I'm going to go with Marlon Vera. Man, I don't know. It's a tough one. I think there's good value in Frankie.
I got Frankie, and I got him on my parlay, by the way.
Oh.
So Frankie Edgar, I believe in you. You said he lost against some tough competition. I mean, Marlon Vera, he has a loss also against Song Yadong recently, man. I mean, I don't remember the fight particularly, but that doesn't seem too impressive. And look, Vera's a good fighter, but Frankie Edgar's a veteran. I'm going to go with the veteran, sentimental pick, but he's on my parlay. And you want the rest of my parlay, Dave?
Yeah, why not? Rose. Hit me with it.
Rose and Frankie.
Rose and Frankie. A 2-fight parlay.
I considered Chandler for a bit, but no, I think Gaethje's going to win that fight. For a moment, I had Chandler on that parlay, but no, I'm going to end up with just Rose and Frankie.
All right, there is Freddie's classic 2-fight parlay. And let's take a look. You can bet over at Bet99 with us. Use that promo code Ringside when you sign up so you get a matching deposit of up to $600. There's Thug Rose Namajunas -105, Frankie Edgar +128. $20 gets you $89.60 with the Team Freddy parlay. Pretty good. AJ, what do you got for me?
Man, you were talking about Frankie Edgar. The guy's been around since 2007, dude. UFC 67, if I'm not mistaken. The guy has been there forever. The wear and tear, man. He's going up against Vera. He has seven losses, and those seven losses have been by decision. So I'm surprised you guys are going that way. You're both going with Frankie Edgar. I'm going the other way, man.
I think I'm going with Marlon Vera. I think I picked Vera.
Oh, okay.
I think Frankie has a shot. He's a good underdog, but I'm leaning with Vera. I think Vera's he's 29 years old. Frankie's 40, man. It's just, I don't know. He's been getting knocked out a lot. You can knock out Frankie Edgar. I think Marlon Vera probably does it. If he was able to knock out Sean O'Malley, he'll probably knock out Frankie Edgar.
Sean O'Malley, that's you say that, and that's enough for me to say.
Yeah.
There's no way Frankie's going to be able to go like toe to toe with him.
Do you have a parlay?
Do you want me to go with my picks?
Give me a million fight parlay. Okay. Let's see it. What do you got?
Let me go with the five fight parlay. So I'm going to go with obviously I'm going with Colby Covington for the win here.
Wow.
By decision. So like you know what? Throw in that if you can. Throw in the decision.
Oh, you want it by decision? You want to get real specific with me?
Oh yeah. This time I'm going to be going. Listen, man, I'm on a hot streak. Last week we made money for people, man.
+475 for decision.
Yeah, +475. Okay. You got that.
I'm going with Rose, obviously, for the win here and as well a decision. I think this is going to go to distance. It's going to be a firefight.
Thug Rose.
I'm going to go with Marlon Vera.
Rose by decision. Man, you're getting real specific with me. You're making it complicated for me here.
Why, man? It's Bet99. It's good. Easy breezy, man. Oh,
okay, next.
Bet99.com. Next, I'm going to go with the straight win with Marlon Vera.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go with Justin Gaethje, like you guys said, for the TKO KO.
Specifically KO?
Let's go specifically KO, man, on that one.
Wow, you're getting real specific. There's no way. Okay, -116. That's doable. Okay. Do you have anything else? You have three bets so far. Four bets.
Yeah.
Do you want to do more? You're done?
I want to go with the Alia Quinta. No, I wanted to go with the five, man.
Oh, my God. Okay, so?
Give
me another fucking bet!
And I'm going to go... wait, hold on a sec, but I'm going to go with Shane Burgos for the win.
You're such a pendejo right now. Shane Burgos, killing me. Where's Shane Burgos?
Why, man?
Shane Burgos, all right. Is that it?
I was going to go with Al, but I think I'm going to just keep it to the main.
Take him! Take Al!
So...
Take Al, jabroni!
No, because if I...
I want your parlay to end early in the night. Yeah, yeah.
It's
get
not
rid
happening,
of you quick.
Man. I'm leaving it to that.
Okay. Why? $20 $20 over at bet99.com. AJ has Colby Covington by decision +475.
$2,000.
Rose Namajunas by decision +333. Marlon Vera to win. Justin Gaethje by knockout -116. Shane Burgos to win -200. $20 gets you $2,267.49 with Team AJ. Holy shit.
Come on, AJ, bet it at least.
Yeah, you got to bet it, AJ. Just put
$2
on this parlay, you win. I mean, what's $2 get you?
What do you think I'm cheap?
$226 bucks. Yes, put $20 on it. Win $2,000 if you believe in yourself. But you don't believe in yourself because you just throw shit against the wall and see if it sticks. And then if it sticks, you take credit and act like you're a genius.
Listen, man, like Anthony Robbins says, believe in yourself. And I believe in that.
Believe in yourself. Listen, yeah, but you won't put your money where your mouth is. You just put the parlay up, and then sometimes your big parlays, once in a while, your big parlays come through. I'm like, AJ, you put money on it? You're like, no.
It's about the universe. I want to make money for the Ringside Report universe. It's not about me all the time, Dave. It's not about me.
I want to make money for the Ringside Report universe, too, and I'm going to give you Dave's parlay right now, okay? Dave's parlay is real fucking simple. It's a three-fight parlay.
That's it?
Okay. Yeah, bitch. Hey, Fred did two. Fred did two, and you didn't say shit to him, so fuck you.
But Freddie always does two, man. Freddie does two, maybe one.
Well, sometimes
one.
I do one
Freddie's
or
Freddie's pretty conservative, like his political beliefs. It's okay, man.
Look at it. Is that one you got from AJ? Or is that trick-or-treating? You get that trick or treating?
Is that Little Simon?
Yeah, he's got a blue lollipop.
Blueberry.
Wow.
Blueberry lollipop? And look at his tongue. Stick out your tongue.
Want to see AJ's tongue?
Orange. No. Get out of here. No, I got to do the show. I got to finish the show.
Love you, buddy.
Oh, he's trying to lick me with his blue tongue. He's trying to make me blue. No, don't
do it, man. Like a Smurf. George the Animal Steel.
Don't do it.
Oh,
all right,
best.
My three-fight parlay
was the best.
I'm finishing this show with the boy with me because I don't know where his mom went. Three-fight parlay.
Talk about wrestling.
Shut your face, AJ. Shut your face. I'll talk about wrestling tomorrow night. All right. It's almost bedtime. Somebody's got to go to bed. All right. Ugh, let me do my parlay. All right, guys. Here we go. Three-fight parlay. Very simple. It's the Trevor Whitman special. Kamaru Usman -313, Rose Namajunas -105, and Justin Gaethje -213. $20 gets you $76. Team Dave. Super simple.
That's pretty simple.
You all right with that?
I'm all right with that, man.
I thought that
I
was a pretty good
comes
parlay.
Out, man.
Yeah, well, I hope it does too. I hope you put money on it and you actually win.
I want to see who won last time with us last Saturday. Was it Douglas?
Patrick won? Patrick won last week with us. Our parlays were huge and ridiculous last week. I had a 5-fight parlay that almost came through. Was it a 5 or a 6 even? I think I did 6. Didn't I do 6?
No, yours was 6.
Mine was 6
seven,
and yours was
I had a
7.
7-fight parlay.
Mine was 6 right. And 5 of the 6 came through except for Jan Blachowicz who lost. And then the whole parlay went to bust. But Patrick didn't bet on the Yan fight, so he wound up winning. See, other people win with our bets because they know which ones to lay off. Us, we just wind up losing because we bet all our picks. It's not good. We're not good at gambling. I don't actually win money gambling. I just, like, sometimes I do. But, like, it's pretty rare because I don't know which picks of mine are good and which are bad. So I just bet them all, and then hopefully sometimes I win. But sometimes I don't. But I give you
Listen,
good
man,
picks.
We've been
I feel like
people
win off my picks more than I win off my picks. And AJ never bets his picks, so forget about it.
And I've been winning a lot lately, man. My crystal ball has been working.
Well, then bet this $2,000 parlay then, roll. Jabroni. Call AJ a jabroni.
Listen,
tell him he's a jabroni.
Yo, jabroni.
Yeah, that's right.
Yo, little Dave Simon.
Yeah.
Little Smurf. Listen, man, it's all about... Others winning, dude. I don't care about winning. I want other people to win. 2,000, man?
Yeah, well, I'm really happy that Patrick won last week. That was good that Patrick won last week. It's always nice when I see somebody on the chat saying, hey, I won, you know, he's dropping super chat, supporting the network. Appreciate that. Angelo just dropped the super chat as well. Thank you, Angelo, for the super chat. Appreciate you. And you are the top super chatter right now of the night. You are on top. You are the leader.
Dave, just quickly, man, like, for the last months, we've been hitting, like, our parlays. Freddie won, like, 3 weeks ago. We won last week. The week before that, I hit my five for five fight parlay, which was on the money. If anybody bet that, that was some decent money. Like, we've been pretty good, you know? And listen, if we would have hit with Yan last week, which was, like, we all thought it was a sure shot, man, we would have had 6 out of 6 and 7 out of 7. That was some decent money there. But you know what? Shit happens, and that's the gambling business, man. You know?
That's the gambling business?
You never know.
Right.
But.
Well. Guys.
I was going to say something about wrestling. Everybody's been waiting for your wrestling thing. At least throw something.
No, I'm going to talk about it tomorrow. I talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the show, but then you guys started telling me how unimportant everybody was. So if it's not important, if nobody's important and
what?
You haven't heard about anybody, forget about it. I'll just talk about it with Johnny tomorrow with somebody who cares. All right?
Johnny!
Talk to Johnny tomorrow. You guys saying, oh, Nia Jax, she's not important. She's The Rock's cousin. She's very important. She got released from WWE. Whoa. I'll talk about it right now with Zevi. Zevi. Let me tell you something. A lot of people got released from WWE today. You want to know who? You want me to tell you? Nia Jax. Karrion Kross. Yeah? See, he's shocked. He can't believe Karrion Kross got released. Keith Lee. Right? What do you think about Keith
Bruce
Lee getting
Lee?
Released? What did you... Oh, there goes the lollipop. What do you think about Keith Lee getting released? You're shocked. Doug Heppern dropped a super chat. He wants to know who your favorite wrestler is. Who's your favorite wrestler?
Super chat.
Huh?
Seth Rollins?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Wow. Seth Rollins? Wow.
Nah, isn't it Bryan Danielson? No. It's not? No. It's Seth Rollins?
Dave, why? Don't corrupt the kid. He says Seth Rollins, man.
Oh, that's just, it's incorrect.
Don't respect that, Dave.
No.
Yeah, never. Respect that, dude.
Never.
Don't be a bully. Seth Rollins, man.
All right. Well, thank you, Doug, for the super chat. Appreciate you.
I was just going to say, as a kid, I remember saying, go Nordiques just to piss off my father. So go Seth Rollins. You're right, Seth.
Do you want to see anybody in AEW that I said? Like Keith Lee or Karrion Kross? Or no?
I want to see who is in AEW.
You want to see who is in AEW?
I
want
to know.
You want to know who's going to go to AEW?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you later, okay? Yeah.
You know who's the best, Zevi? Brock Lesnar. That's who's the best.
Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar!
Now? Well, I don't know yet. They haven't, we don't know yet. We'll see. All right, guys. Good show. Nice talking to you. Appreciate you guys, AJ and Freddie. I'll talk to you guys again on Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern time for the UFC 268 watch along.
Oh,
hopefully you win some money over at Bet99 with our picks. Go to shop.ringsidereport.net/shop. Go to merch.ringsidereport.net. You could also join the channel. Join the channel. Go to join.ringsidereport.net. Go to donate.ringsidereport.net. Do all the things. Support the channel. We'll be with you here once again on Saturday night for the UFC 268 watch along. Thanks to Doug Heppern. Thank you to Patrick C. Hamilton, and thank you to Angelo Contagonis. Angelo, once again, the Super Chat leader of the night. Appreciate you guys, and I will be back here tomorrow night after SmackDown with Johnny North, 10 p.m. Eastern time here on the Ringside Report Network, and then once again with AJ and Freddie on a Saturday night watching the pay-per-view, see if our picks came through, okay? And that's it. Thanks, everybody. Like the video, and we'll see you on Saturday.